Some Christians believe that faith is a personal matter that should be kept to oneself. It is true that we shouldn't be boisterous or obnoxious in sharing our faith, but we should always be ready to give an answer and give it gently and respectfully when asked about our faith, when asked about our lifestyle or our Christian perspective. Is your hope in Christ readily observable? Can people see that in you as you live your life daily? Are you prepared to tell others what Christ has done for you? What Christ has done for the world? How he came and he died on that cross and he shed his precious blood for the whole world. Every person. Can you give that answer? Can you give the answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? In this scripture, 1 Peter 3:15, Christ is to be preferred here. So the scripture says to sanctify, to set apart in your hearts Christ as Lord. The heart is the sanctuary in which he prefers to be worshipped. Live to in submissive communion with the Lord Jesus, loving and obeying him. That's how we live. That's how we serve Christ. We serve him in submission, in communion, in loving and obeying his will. What he says for us to do, then that's exactly what we need to do. John 14, verse number 15 says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll do what I ask you to do. To be ready to give an answer, the believer must understand what he believes and why one is a Christian. Understand and believe. And then be able to articulate one's belief humbly, thoughtfully, reasonably, and biblically. That hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What hope are we talking about? We're talking about the hope of salvation with its anticipation of eternal glory. Think about it. Not only Christians should be ready to give an answer, but someone who builds a house, maybe your house. He's doing something and you come up and you ask him a question, why are you doing that? He needs to be able to give you an answer. And most likely he will. What about a mechanic that works on your car? Are you sure that I need those rotors? He will tell you why you need the rotors. What about a doctor? Doctor says you've got to have surgery on your tonsils. He will give you an answer for as to why you need that. So like these others we're talking about, Christians need to be ready to give an answer of the hope that is within them with meekness and fear to anyone who asks a question. James 4, verse number 17, one that we all know, says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I'll go as far as saying, if you can't answer the question that's asked you with meekness and fear, find somebody that can answer that question. Don't just say, I don't know. Say, I don't know, but I will get you an answer. It's that important. So as we go through this lesson this morning, ask yourself the question, are you ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear? Are you ready? This very question that we will be discussing this morning may be asked of you sometime in your lifetime. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. Will you be ready to give an answer? I'm going to ask a question right now. How many want to go to heaven? Nobody. No hands were raised. How many want to go right now? Okay. Anyone can go to heaven. Anyone. If he or she will obey what the Father has clearly stated in his word. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. We have to be obedient to his will. We might ask, what is the Father's will? What is the will of the Father? That above all else, is that one become a child of God. Now let's clarify that statement. The Bible teaches that there are conditions that need to be met in order to become a child of God. These same conditions were met by those on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, and on through the book. One has to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of sins. Any other way is not good enough. This is what our Father breathed inspiration into the apostles to write. So isn't this what we should do to become a child of God? Why would we go another direction? Why would we do something that's not written by inspiration? It just doesn't make any sense, does it? In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, we read there, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. To live in heaven for an eternity should be the desire of every person in this audience. Every person. You remember the parable of the talents? Matthew 25, verse number 21. Five talent man, two talent man, and one talent man. The five talent man took his talents. He gained five more. How did he gain them? He worked. He gained five more talents. His Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou in into the joy of the Lord. One who had two talents doubled his. The Lord said the very same thing. The one who had one talent took it and hid it. And he said, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." Basically, you've done nothing. How good would it be to hear, "Welcome, thou good and faithful servant"? Are you a faithful servant today? Can you say that I am a faithful servant? Listen to the words of this song. How sweet will be the welcome home. Can you imagine in your imagination anything any sweeter than that? When this short life is over, you may be 70, 80, even 90, maybe 100, but it's been short. When pain and sorrow, grief and care shall trouble us no more. There'll be no more. When we, the lovely promised land, that's the Christian, child of God, with spirit eyes shall see, we'll join the holy angel band in praise, dear Lord, to thee. Don't you want to do that? If we are faithful, we shall gain. Key word here, faithful. The land of promised rest, heaven, where with the Savior we shall live and be forever blessed. What a beautiful song. Four answers to the reasons we want to go to heaven. Heaven will not be crowded. Many places on this earth that you go are crowded. You go to a buffet, it's crowded. You go to a UT ball game, it's crowded. You go to Walmart, it's crowded. Places are crowded. People are just swarming everywhere. But heaven is not going to be crowded. We find that in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find. Jesus here presents in a vivid, very vivid way, the two ways. The narrow way and the broad way. These two ways are brought in contrast by a series of words. Like, narrow is opposed to wide, and few to many, and life to destruction. The straightened way has an entrance of the narrow gate, and few enter the narrow gate and travel the straightened way and find life. While the broad way has a wide entrance, many enter this broad way and travel to destruction. Which way do you want to travel this morning? Wide or narrow? The narrow way is as broad as the love of God can make it. Jesus did not make the way narrow. He only states a fact. And it is a necessary fact. The narrow road cannot be made wider without lessening the good which is to be gained. It cannot be made any wider. The way of life is eternal through a narrow gate. The pathway to life is hedged and hindered by many difficulties and troubles. We all have had difficulties and troubles. We shouldn't let these difficulties and troubles hinder us from not going to heaven. It must be walked with care and watchfulness, lest the way be missed and evil befall us. The way of life is a plain and simple way. But there are obstacles and difficulties in man's tendencies to go his own way that hinder his walk in the pathway of safety. We read in God's Word in Proverbs 14, verse 12, "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, destruction." This is also in Proverbs 16, 25. Why was it put in there twice? Maybe if we read it the first time, we didn't get it. But we go on over to Proverbs 16, and there it is again. We get it. Sometimes we have to be told more than once, don't we? The road that leads away from God and downward to ruin is broad, and many go therein. One narrow gate with a straight way leads to life. All other paths, all other directions lead to death and ruin. The narrow way is difficult. The other ways, they're easy. They are easy. And many people are taking the easy route. The second answer to the reasons we want to go to heaven is that it is eternal. Matthew 25, verse number 46. "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Both the punishment for the wicked and life for the righteous are eternal. One state is co-equal with the other, and both are endless. God has interwoven the two, so that the man who will attempt to deny the flames of hell must also deny the joys of heaven. The pains of hell are repeatedly declared as ceaseless. In Isaiah 33:14, it talks about everlasting burning. In Daniel 12, verse number 2, it talks about shame and everlasting contempt. In Matthew 18:8, eternal fire, everlasting eternal fire. In Jude 13, "To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." You ever been in a cave and you go all the way away from the entrance? You can't see any light at all. You can't see your hand in front of your face. That's total darkness. And that will be forever. We are assured here that the state and condition of all will be eternal. But Revelation chapter 14, verse number 13 says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, obedient to Him. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Eternal means never ceasing. The destruction and the horrors of hell will never cease. The blessings and benefits of heaven will never cease. Which do we want? The third answer to the reasons we want to go to heaven is that it's a place of victory. In my younger days, I was very competitive. If you and I went to a basketball court, game was on. Because I wanted to win. I wanted the victory. I want to win. That's what we're talking about here. In this life, we can have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 57. It says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not any other way, but through our Lord Jesus Christ. In heaven, we will enjoy final victory. Victory will be ours forever. Revelation 21, verse number 8. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Those won't be anymore. No sorrow or travail of any kind shall ever enter within the walls of that city. The cry of anguish shall never be uttered. Hearts shall never be broken. No tears shall ever dim the eye. And most glorious of all, death shall be unknown. Death began its sway when man was expelled from paradise. Genesis 3:23-24. He ends it with final judgment, condemns Satan, death, and Hades to enter the lake of fire. The new Jerusalem will be painless, tearless, deathless, because it will be a sinless city. Former things have passed away. There will be no sin in the New Jerusalem. Fourth and final answer this morning of the reasons we want to go to heaven is that it's a place prepared for a prepared people. You know, in our lifetime, we prepare for everything else. We take a vacation, we get things ready, we prepare. Get the car checked out, we get the luggage packed. We get the tickets, we get the motel. Everything's prepared, we're ready to go. What about heaven? Are we prepared to go? Are we prepared? Are we just playing church? Are we just here because somebody else wants us to be here? Because we're parents. You know, they've been at this congregation for all these years, many years, and we just can't stop coming here because of them. That's not the right reason. Your parents need to be prepared, and you need to be prepared as well. And John 14, 1 through 3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Also in John chapter 14, verse number 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, Jesus is the way, not man, but Jesus. Are you a prepared people, or are you a prepared person? To be prepared, you got to meet the conditions. One must hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. After hearing that word, one must believe it. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. After hearing and believing, one must repent of sin. Acts 17:30. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now, commandeth all men everywhere to repent. After hearing and believing and repenting of sin, one must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32-33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. After hearing and believing and repenting and sin and confessing the sweet name of Jesus, as the Son of God, one must be buried in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of sin. Acts 2:38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 22:16. Ananias to Paul. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You cannot put Christ on any other way. It has to be through submission and baptism for the remission of sins. Romans 6:3-4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the glory of the Father, even so we shall also walk in newness of life. When one does that, all past is forgotten. You become new. You rise to walk a new person. Are you ready to do that this morning? I hope that this lesson encourages you, if you have not done so, obey the gospel this morning, as together we stand and sing.